That's okay, because it's his work. He's his master student. So my student Bharat, his master's project was like some of this computer vision algorithm, and I think in this session, integrating sensors for some of the soil characterization, I think would be the better place to talk about it. So what we did, like probably people are thinking, why this picture related to this session? And actually, whatever we're doing, we're trying to getting back to the everybody, like whenever you see people are sitting, everybody's on their cell phone or computer or something, that's where we're heading. Like, how many people are actually spending hours and hours in field rather they're spending more hours in computer. So that's why we're heading to the soil. Of course, master student I talked about, and my colleague Slava Adamchuk from McGill University, and there's the University of Guelph, because I just moved in, so two universities. I'll be talking about soil texture and how do we characterize the particle size distribution in computer, like soil images using computer vision algorithm. We know soil texture, the relative proportion, and the particle size distribution when you, the list of values statistical description that defines the relative amount. And importance of soil texture or particle size distribution, we don't even have to tell about it, but just a reminder that agricultural, environmental, or engineering application, wherever you go, this is the first thing. Anything you do with soil, what is your sand silt clay or what is your soil texture? That's what we ask. So in drainage, aeration, what type of organic matter holding or buffering capacity, nutrient, water holding capacity, cation exchange, aeration, or load bearing capacity. And if you see what is the measurement in field method, like a more of a qualitative, you just go feel with your hand and say what is soil texture, or laboratory method. We can do dry sieving, so dusty material sometime, and sedimentation, pipette method or hydrometer method. And then with the advancement of technologies, we try to do it X-ray absorption, electrical sensing zones, or laser diffraction, single optic sizing. There's so many different methodologies are coming in. But when you see the challenges, like some of those cases are time and energy intensive, often very expensive to maintain, noisy, dusty, consume water, produce vibration. So while I was a student, my next room was like a dry sieve. So whenever we do that, and I never used to be in that office because it's so much shaky and noisy. And some of the equipments are expensive, need regular maintenance. In contrast, I will tell you it's a very easy method. Let's see how things work. We take a picture. A lot of people use a cell phone or a digital camera and put it in their computer, try to produce the image analysis or computer vision algorithm. So how it works, I'm giving an example with the rock fragments and other things, but I will be coming back to soil. So what it happens, like in an image analysis, it's been used in fertilizer industry or grain industry to see the particle sizes, what is the diameter of the particles. So if you have an image, color image or RGB image, you transform it into a grayscale image and try to see what is the largest diameter of that one. So you can make the binary, then image processing, you can, different algorithms you can use like eroding, dilating, fill holes, watershed algorithms, so fill up, different image processing algorithms are there, and then you try to see what is the particle sizes. Once you get the particle sizes, produce them into a particle size diameter of the particles you see or the images, because when you're talking about the image, the resolution is important and how you're calibrating the each of the pixel size. So we're not talking about voxel like the previous one. We are talking about a pixel. It's a two-dimension one. And now if we see like what is the basis of this presentation or this kind of work, I'll just take you through what is the variation in images we see. Like for example, if you put a straight line and if you have this grayscale image, so you go straight line where there's a white image, there's a nothing signature or like almost like a zero value grayscale. And then suddenly you get the image starts, it bumps up because the color comes in. And as soon as the image, that particular particle ends, it the image that grayscale value drops. So now you basically, when you look at an image and if you see a straight line along a one dimension, for example, you see a series like that, so many small vibrations, so this is not a particular that image. So in a soil image, you can get this kind of vibration. So what I did, I used a wavelet transform. What it wavelet transform does, very quickly I will do, no mathematics in there. Wavelet transform uses a mathematical function called wavelet. So what it does, it can actually expand or contract, and based on that we can try to calculate or try to compare the sizing. So if we have this red box and that is the mathematical function, take it to that green blue line and compare that, how similar or how dissimilar they are at that particular point. And then along that particular pixel, so if you look at an x-axis, what is the similarity or what are the dissimilarity we see, and then as you go next, you are increasing the box size or you are increasing, that means you are zooming into the picture. You are trying to see much more detail, so that your much less details, because you are looking into a larger size of the images. So when you do that, that means you are increasing the scale of the images. And as you go larger and larger, so you put all those similarity and dissimilarity at the different scale at different pixel sizes. Now, if you have this particular spatial series, then you put into a contour graph. We all like colorful graphs and contour graphs. You put it there and see the variation at which particular pixel, what is the variation at which scale going on. So that each of the scale is nothing but the particle sizes we are looking at, because the variation, you remember when I showed that, so if it is a very small scale variation, you get the small box fits in there. If it is a larger scale variation, like a clay, for example, sand particle, you get this larger variation. And that's what we're trying to do. Then we calculate the significance with the Monte Carlo simulation, and from the continuous Wavelet transform, we try to put it into a called global Wavelet transform. What it does, irrespective of the pixel location, it just calculates how much of the at particular scale, what is the total amount of variations are there. Now, when this variation are there, you get this distribution curve. And what in this project we did, we try to understand or calculate the area under the curve, because this whole distribution is nothing but the particle sizes distribution you see. And then area under the curve, and then we separate out into sand, silt, and clay. That's the whole thing. Almost I have done presentation, but this is the objective. What was there, like characterize the PSD or particle size distribution from the images taken with portable microscope in laboratory setting. We use a field sample collected from a farm in McDonald campus at McGill University, Montreal, Canada. One of the particularity of this field is that we have organic matter variation from 1% to 83%. It's pretty crazy. And clay variation up to 53% clay we got after hydrogen peroxide destruction of the organic matter. And then when you see a lot of clay material are there, because this is a clay type soil, and Montreal, Champlain Sea clay, and that area, I don't want to go back to that. And what we did in the image acquisition, we used a microscope, about a 200 magnification, and we did not go to the optical zooming, and optical zooming further to that, but optical zooming will reduce the quality of the picture, so we didn't go there. 56 sample, we took it at 3 replicates, and just in that grayscale image, what happens, rather than looking at the whole image, what I did, every 20 pixel, we pick up a spatial series. You can see the grid, whether it's horizontally and vertically, and get all those image spatial series. And then, for example, I take a one series, and then that particular series, with the Wavelet transform, I convert it into this two-dimensional contour graph, and Wavelet transform suffers from some bias, so we corrected the bias with some mathematical technique, and once we, from the continuous Wavelet transform, we transform to global Wavelet transform, which gives me a distribution of something like that. And then, based on the distribution or area under the curve, so if you think about the whole is 100% of the soil particle sizes, then what is the sand, silt, and clay? When you look at the sand, it gives us about 0.77 R-square value, RMSE 5.7%. And if you think about any of the laser diffraction or any machine, which gives us about 6% accuracy, even the hydrometer method, which is also quite high, compared to that, images where we are just taking the sample, drawing it, and taking an image, try to do the calculation. Silt is giving us a little bit better because the images where we have quite a bit of higher resolution. Same thing with the clay. We got the best one because when you go to the minor fractions, very small scale variation, or like it almost looks like a noise, but some of those noise reduction we did too, we separated out the noise, and then we try to identify what is the clay. It's about 4.5% clay, so that's pretty amazing. We're surprised, we're thinking, is it really correct? 4.5% clay from an images because of the high magnification of microscope. And then we try to map down distribution, because the main idea was that as it is a sensor session, so we're trying to put, like, can we use this image to develop a sensor that can, rather than go take the sample, bring it to the lab and do all this analysis, or you take the image with a cell phone or something like that, put that microscope on the soil, take any cell phone image and kind of convert back what is the sand sealant play. Maybe we will not get 100% accurate data, but we can get enough precise data to develop a distribution map. Once we have the particle sizes, we can calculate back all other, lot of other properties. In summary, image acquisition system, as a high resolution soil images we can develop with a microscope, and with the wavelet transform, we can characterize the soil particle with pretty much confidence, well confidence, I guess, I wouldn't say 100%, but shows promise to be proximal soil sensors. So proximal soil sensors is close in our proximity to the soil. We try to measure or characterize the soil properties, and can be indicated with the other sensors, like a sensor fusion. So you can put into your tractor as it goes and in the stop, take an images and analyze. There's a lot of possibility. That's what we're going into. Like, we don't want to go back to the field with a shovel and collect soil sample, bring back, rather than put the sensor onto a on-the-go sensing, or put a tractor as it goes, take images to the analyze. So we have been doing this extension to, like, from the lab images, bringing back to the field, collect the soil sample, collect this images, and try to see not only this laboratory air-dried ground sample, but can you do with the field situation. That's next. So with this, thank you very much, and I'll be happy to entertain any questions. Yes, so the question is conventional method based on the mass, while my method is based on the volume. Because whenever we are, even in the conventional, my answer is when you look at the conventional method, and even if you look at the sieving method, the thing we look at is the diameter. So maximum diameter of the sieve. Now here, when you're looking at the image variation, and that image variation or the signal variation is coming from the particular, the diameter of that. So we are more looking into the diameter, like, volume based rather than actually a mass based, but this is telling me directly the diameter rather than going to the fraction or percentage of the total mass we are talking about. That's why we think this is a direct analysis rather than going into a, like, a fraction, a relative proportion we are not doing. We are particularly telling what is the diameter of that particle rather than relative fraction of sand, silt and clay. That's why we are talking about the distribution. And then, based on the distribution, we can calculate sand, silt, and clay, because that's what we're more acquainted with. Yeah.
We'll have to hold the questions until break, okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.